He's trying to get the tape to start turning. Okay. All right, we got it turning. Let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. You know our SOP, moment of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the God of all wisdom and grace. You are omnipotent. You have revealed to us Your plan and the means to execute that plan. We just pray that You will help us to concentrate on that message and that revelation so that we will have the good sense to take all that You have given us and exploit it to the max. We pray that You will help us to do that, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Why are you here? Is that not a good question? And I'm not talking about here in church, at Bible class. I'm talking about why are you here on planet Earth? You know, a lot of people pay a lot of money to answer that question. They go to psychologists. They go to doctors of philosophy. Some people go to gurus out on far distant mountains to answer the question, why am I here on planet Earth? You should be ready to give anyone that would ask such a question an answer. In fact, a detailed answer. What that really is asking, the inquiry is, what's the purpose of life? Now, most people will say, well, we're here to glorify God and to be able to resolve the angelic conflict. Well, as a believer, you've already done that. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, it was an illustration to Satan and demons and everyone else of the vindication of God's integrity. So I ask you again, why are you here? You've already glorified God by exploiting the grace that is offered at salvation. Well, most of you would say, hopefully, well, you're here to glorify God in another way. What is that way? You've heard it said probably many times that God has a plan for your life. That's very generic. That's very general. It really doesn't communicate to others the great plan that God has for you, specifically as a believer. And of course, collectively to all believers. So the question is, after you were saved, moment after you were saved, you were as saved as you will ever be. You can't get more saved than you were the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. Now, you can grow up spiritually, but that doesn't make you more saved. But, we hit on something when I said we could grow up spiritually. Well, what is the purpose of growing up spiritually? You all know the way of growing up spiritually. Again, it's exploiting God's grace by consistently taking in His Word. You have to learn something about God before you can grow up spiritually and execute the mandates of the Christian way of life that is delineated in the Word of God. So, why are you here? And the purpose, of course, is to glorify God again. But how do we glorify God after salvation? And the thing that we have to recognize about God is He wants to do so much more for you as a believer than you would ever be able to anticipate. Most believers are so shallow. They think, well, I believe in God, or I believe in Jesus Christ, more correctly. Therefore, I'm saved. And I think I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed until I get there. That's the attitude of some. These are, they possibly are believers, but they're in spiritual kindergarten. That's not the plan that God has for believers. He wants us to move out of kindergarten and go far beyond that. And what we have been studying in this 39th thing of the 40 things that we have been studying is somewhat unique. Because this particular thing has to do with not all believers, but only those who exploit God's grace to the maximum. In other words, they understand the big picture. They have a goal in their soul, in their mind's eye, a target, if you will, and part of the purpose, if not the lion's share of it, is first of all, understanding what that is. What is the 39th thing? Well, we've learned it as escrow blessings. Well, that's kind of a strange term to begin with. Those two words will probably not be put together outside of this ministry and a few others that understand what escrow blessings are all about. We went to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3, and found out that God has created in eternity's past special, unique blessings specifically for each one of us, every believer. Now that in itself should be mind-boggling, to think before God even created the earth, He was already thinking specifically how He was able to bless you. And so these things were created. They were in place before God even created the universe. And so eventually, time clicks on, we're born, we believe in Jesus Christ. Now the issue is, why are you here? And the purpose now, we understand, is to receive those blessings that He created out of nothing, untold eons ago, specifically for us, that will bring us happiness and prosperity beyond our wildest dreams. And part of this that we're studying in this 39th thing is critical for you to understand, because most people in life think that their happiness depends upon their circumstances. This is the way people are programmed to believe from birth. How are you doing? You having a good day? No, it's sorry. You know, blah, 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 all these things have happened and made it a lousy day. That's not what God wants for us. We are unique. He has given us benefits, privileges, opportunities, and responsibilities that no other believer in any other dispensation has had. We are unique to that. And now we realize that we are to grow up so that He can give us not just simply logistical grace blessings. God gives every believer logistical grace blessings. That is not the purpose of life. However, some people don't even recognize that. A lot of believers don't even know what logistical grace blessings are. Excuse me. Or that God is bound by His Word to provide everything necessary for you. What is the purpose of logistical grace blessings? The purpose is to sustain you long enough so that you can mature enough for God to dispense these great blessings that He's already created. That's the purpose of logistical grace blessings. You've heard me say it before. Logistical grace blessings are provided so that you are provided the means to execute God's plan. But now we're looking at it a little closer, because that plan specifically for every believer is to mature and allow those grace blessings to start flowing, those super abundant grace blessings. Before we go back to our printed notes, I want to go to a few scriptures that will help us understand this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter's way back there, close to the back of the book. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. How do you go about humbling yourself? Because it's not a natural phenomenon with mankind. This isn't something that man naturally does. This is talking about genuine humility. And genuine humility is not something that is natural to the human race. It is quite unnatural. And we will find that this genuine humility comes from enforced humility. And those who are taught enforced humility in the home as children have a huge head start on understanding life, adapting and orienting to life because they are authority oriented. Today, people think that freedom is freedom from authority, and that never has been what freedom is. Freedom is not the freedom to buck the delegated authority. Quite the opposite. When you are humble and you submit to authority, then you are exercising genuine humility if it's done, not from coercion, but because you understand in your soul that this is God's command to us, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And it's easier to do that if you were humbled by your parents growing up. Because authority orientation is nothing foreign to you. You understand this is the normal sixes and sevens, normal routine of life. So children who are authority oriented from enforced humility in the home find it easy to obey this. Humble yourself. This is in the imperative mood. It is a command. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. And this word exalt really means to promote. Promote you with what? Promote you with reference to your job or your career? Well, that could be a very small part of it. What it means is to promote you with super grace blessings. That's what He wants. You see, the first stage in acquiring spiritual super grace blessings, as well as the other five categories, is to first of all be humble. You cannot learn Bible doctrine if you are arrogant. The book of James says, God makes war against the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. But He doesn't only give logistical grace to the humble. Those who are truly humble to the mandates of God eventually are going to reap all of these benefits that God has for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is a guarantee. It is in writing. If you humble yourselves, obey the mandates of God's Word, then you follow His plan. And His plan for your life is to grow up spiritually. And when you do that, then you are guaranteed these fantastic blessings. The issue is now, do you believe it? I'm going to show you through Scripture that that is the plan. Guaranteed. Or you can do it your way. You can ignore God and His mandates. You can be arrogant and do things your way. But you'll never have that happiness, that contentment, that satisfying fulfillment in your life. There'll always be a void if you try to do it your way. So that's what it's talking about when it says He will exalt you
with super grace blessings. Look at this now. At the proper time. What is the proper time? Well, we've been studying a lot about capacity lately, and the answer to that is when you reach the capacity through spiritual growth to allow God to pour these blessings upon you, which you can't wait to do, then that is the right time and not before. We're going to see a little bit more about capacity in a minute, but let's read this again and look at it from this perspective. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may promote you with super grace blessings or escrow blessings at the proper time when your spiritual momentum has reached a peak to where you are spiritually mature and you will not be distracted by all of the wonderful things that God plans to prosper you with. All right, what about capacity? Do you know what capacity is gauged by? Do you know what determines your capacity in life? This is a critical factor because until you have capacity, God is not going to release those escrow blessings, those super grace blessings in six categories. It is your love towards God that determines your capacity. However much love you have for God is what determines your capacity. And of course, this is for super grace believers. Let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Some of you might not know where Lamentations is. Just go to Jeremiah. You probably can find that one. The next book is Lamentations. I'll wait for everybody to get there. It's not a book we go to very often. Lamentations chapter 3. We're talking about capacity right now as an integral part, a prerequisite for our escrow blessings to be released. Verse 20. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 20. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Two key words here. Remembered. You have to know something before you can remember it. Second of all, bowed down has to do with humility. There it is again. Humility must come first. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Hope is confident assurance. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is Thy faithfulness. This is a super grace believer. He understands the loving kindness, the grace that is directed towards us. And it never ceases. Yeah, but what about when you fail? What about when you go off on a tangent? Does God's grace ever cease? Absolutely not. It's there every morning. They are new every morning. This is the great thing. You might think that you're going to somehow accumulate grace and then God is going to divvy it out over a period of time. That's not the way God's grace is. Every morning is a new day. All the Bible ever promises us is one day at a time. And so the grace is what? It's new every morning. And when you start thinking in terms of more than one day at a time, you're already getting in trouble. Actually, that's kind of a form of arrogance because we don't know how much time we have. And so His grace is new to us every morning. 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. This is occupation with Christ. This is a man with priorities right. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have confidence, anticipation in Him. Not in things, not in all the prosperity, but in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. Wait for Him. You know that you have to wait if you're ever going to reach super grace, be a spiritually mature believer? It doesn't come overnight. And many people peel off because they want it in their time. Okay, I'll give doctrine 6 months. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to do all this, and if I don't see all these superabundant blessings in 6 months, then I'm going to try something else. Now, people won't say that to you. They won't say that's their rationale, the way they think. That's the way a lot of them do think. They're on their timetable, not God's. They think they know best and when they are ready for blessings. And the very fact that they think that way is a demonstration that they're not ready for those blessings, you see. So, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him. In other words, what do? We have to continue to do it God's way. Plod along. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Bible class after Bible class. Sometimes boring out your gourd, you think, sometimes. I don't know, maybe you don't, but sometimes you're bound to. This is not your cup of tea. You want to be studying something else. But line upon line, precept upon precept, after a period of time, if you stick with it, you have God's guarantee that those blessings that He created for you in eternity past, the pipeline valve is going to open, they're going to start flowing. You know how many people don't even know, they're not even aware of these superabundant blessings? That means they don't know why they're here. They don't even know the real purpose after salvation. So this says in verse 20, four again, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will have hope in Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. Now, God is good to everyone, but this is going way over above what is just normal good. This isn't referring to logistical grace. This is talking about super grace. Because God is good to those who don't wait upon Him. They receive logistical grace. But this has that superabundant escrow blessings in view. And that only goes to those who wait, who do it God's way, who don't try to rush things, who don't try to connive, don't try to manipulate, keep their priorities straight. They're seeking Him. They keep their spiritual momentum going. Now, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I bet everybody can find that real quick. I hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And we have a description here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 about super grace blessings, escrow blessings. But just as it stands written, from Isaiah 64:4. He's talking about these things. Things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not even entered into the heart of man. All that God has prepared, prepared when? In eternity past. What are they? Super grace blessings. For those who love Him. Now, you see how that is a condition? Does everybody get these things that is mentioned here? No. It is only for those who love God. And you've heard me say it over and over, and I'm going to say it again. You cannot love anyone unless you know them first. You have to know someone before you can love them. The only way that you get to know God, the only way you can be occupied with Christ is to learn His Word, to learn Bible doctrine. When you do that, you are gaining capacity. And capacity is the prerequisite for these superabundant grace blessings to flow into your life. Everybody wants the prosperity test, don't they? I bet everyone here, if you said, okay, I'm going to give you a list of the tests. People test, system test, thinking test, all these different tests. And then prosperity test. If I handed out a little sheet that had all the different tests, and I said, you can only pick one, the one that you want, which would it be? If you were really honest, how many people would go right to prosperity? Right? Well, why doesn't that happen with believers? Why doesn't God, as soon as a believer accepts Jesus Christ, why doesn't He open the valve then? And just give every believer automatically, when you believe in Christ, you have all these super abundant blessings. Well, the reason is because the condition has not been made, hasn't been met. And that is capacity. Capacity through growing up spiritually. But why is that? Well, when you understand this, that God gives spiritual blessings to the mature believer without those blessings, he's already been happy. You understand what I'm saying? I am not telling you this, and I don't want you to get this understanding. I'm not saying that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not going to be super happy until you have the six categories of things that we're teaching. We only got through one so far. We're not completely through it, and that's spiritual blessings. I'm not telling you that you can't have this happiness until you have all these things. And that should be your goal in life, is to have all these things that we're studying. It's very possible some of you might have that idea. And that's not the idea. Because God does not even start to release those blessings to you until you already have that happiness. Once you have that happiness without the things, then the things are not going to distract you. And so God is then free to open the valve. Let them flow. You're already happy. So your happiness does not depend on these category of things of super grace blessings. It's just icing on the cake. You already have the cake. You already have the happiness. What is your happiness? Your happiness is your relationship with God and your spiritual self-esteem, that doctrine that you have in your soul, that you're not relying on circumstances. That is the happiness. And when you have that, then you have capacity for all the things that God is going to give you. It's not that you're going to be happy then. You have to be happy now already, whether you have those things or not, as you are progressing in your spiritual growth. That's something that a lot of people don't understand. And I don't want you to think, well, I'm not happy today. And the reason I'm not happy is because I'm not spiritually mature yet. As soon as I reach that spiritual maturity, as soon as I reach that point, bingo, I'm going to hit the jackpot. Then I'm going to be happy. That's a person who will never receive those blessings. Because he thinks, or she thinks, that happiness resides in the things. They don't reside in the things. They reside in the source, in the giver, not the gift. And once you have that capacity to love the giver, then the giver is free to really bless you. And you won't be distracted by all of the stuff. It's not just material things, but all of the super grace blessings. So the prosperity test is very hard to pass. In fact, I want you to understand this. That's why you have to have capacity. You understand? If God gave every believer prosperity instantly when they were, after they've just been saved, what would they automatically be in? The prosperity test, right? Are y'all following me? Let me put it on the board. Maybe that'll be a little easier. Okay, here's a new believer right here. Here's old John Q right here. And he's a believer. He accepts Jesus Christ right here. Now, here's God. And he has all these super grace blessings. SGB. And the moment that this believer believed in God, what if God says, okay, here's the pipeline. Here's the valve. Open the valve, boys. Let the blessings flow. What would happen? This believer, baby believer, would already be facing the hardest test of all, which is prosperity testing. Would they be able to handle that? Well, when you're just learning how to add and subtract, what would happen if you came into, I don't know, what grade do they teach them to add and subtract in? Second? Huh? First and second grade. Well, what if you went in there and said, okay, here's you a test, and you dropped the algebra test, or something about calculus. To these people who are just adding and subtracting, would they be able to pass it? Would it be fair? Of course not. And that's why God cannot release these super grace blessings to the believer, because it'd be putting them under the very hardest test of all right from the beginning. And that would be unjust, and God cannot be unjust. You understand why the capacity now has to come first. That's the condition. So, your capacity depends on your... Listen to this. Your capacity depends... I want you to get this straight. Your capacity depends on your spiritual momentum. Notice what I did not say. I did not say your capacity depends on how much doctrine you know. Oh, look out. A lot of you, or some of you, I hope maybe one of you, has a lot of doctrine in your soul. You know a lot about the Bible. And that's good. But your capacity does not depend upon how much doctrine you know. Now, that might be a shock. I said it depends on your spiritual momentum. In other words, there can be a person who has a lot of doctrine, but no spiritual momentum because he's really not into Bible class. Some people come to Bible class just because it's a routine. And they're just there, who knows why. Spiritual momentum comes from the intake of doctrine for people who are hungry. And it's an ongoing thing. What is momentum? Something has momentum, it means it's moving, right? And that's what this capacity depends on. Some people might take in doctrine for a long time. They might have a lot of knowledge. But if they don't have momentum, if they're not moving forward, then they have no capacity. That's why I made this distinction. It's not just knowledge of doctrine. Golly, there's a lot of, I won't say a lot. There are some believers out there. There are even some unbelievers that know a lot of doctrine. They know a lot about the Bible. Do they have any spiritual momentum? Of course not. Well, some of them aren't even believers. So it's not contingent upon just how much doctrine you know. It's an ongoing thing. Remember, day by day by day. And the promise is, if you continue to have spiritual momentum by continuing to feed that spiritual growth by the intake of doctrine, then you gain capacity. Then you're going to have love for God. And it is your relationship with God and your love for Him that inspires the confidence. It inspires the unconditional love. It motivates you to love other people that are unlovely, unloving, and so forth. So it's your spiritual momentum. Now turn to Romans chapter 14. It wasn't until I was studying for this that I recognized the importance of this verse. You think that, oh, I know all this doctrine. I found every nugget there is. I don't know about you, but I hadn't even started to scratch the surface yet. There's so many there. And I've passed this one I don't know how many times. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then, let us pursue. What do you think that's talking about? Pursue the things. Well, maybe you'll know more about when you see the things. Underline the things, and the things is referring to Bible doctrine, doctrinal precepts. Just put BD, Bible doctrine there. And the word for pursue is Coleman, D-I-O, it's D-O Coleman, D-I-O-K-O-M-E-N. Now this word is in the present active subjunctive. So it should be really, it's the present tense. It should be translated. So let us then keep on pursuing. And it, when I was studying this, I went to the Greek and I was looking at, why isn't this a mandate? I went and looked, and it's not in the imperative mood. And I said, I expected it to be, but it's not. I said it's in the subjunctive mood. And that's why it says, let us. Because the subjunctive mood means potential. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. And that's why it's not just keep on pursuing. It is let us do it. That the let us means, well, maybe you will and maybe you won't. And that's the mood here. It's in the active voice, meaning that you have to be the one to do it. You have to be the pursuer. If you are going to have spiritual momentum, you have to do it. And you have to keep on doing it. And whether you do it or not is up to you. That's what it means in this verse. So it says, let us, maybe you will and maybe you won't, keep on, you have to do it, pursuing these things, meaning Bible doctrine. Because when you do that, look, I want you to get the picture. When you're doing that, what are you doing? You're building capacity. And you are fulfilling the reason that you're still on planet Earth, because God wants to open the valve. He can't do it till you have capacity. How do you have capacity? By keep on pursuing. That's your spiritual momentum. In pursuing what? Well, most people, if they think about happiness, they could fill in the blank, whatever you want. Money, fame, power. But no, this says, keep on pursuing. And again, it's in the present active subjunctive. And what does it depend on? What depends on whether you will pursue it or not? Your own volition. It's up to you. You can decide to do it or you can decide not to. It's my job to make it clear what your choices are. If you choose to do it, you have God's word that He will give you the superabundant blessings that He has created specifically for you in eternity past. All you have to do is wait for His timing, keep on pursuing, and you'll have it. That's the promise. And that's the hope. You have confidence that God is truthful. Or you can say, well, I don't know. I've been studying the Word now for 2 years. I don't see any big thing about it, you know. Whatever your attitude is, and you can go that route. And you can pursue something else. And try to get happiness some way else. And that's what most people do. But here, God has revealed to us this fantastic plan. All you have to do is maintain that spiritual momentum by what? Keep on pursuing doctrine. That's what this verse says, verse 19. So then, let us keep on pursuing the things, which is Bible doctrine, which make for peace. Now, peace, this is not a good translation here for peace. The word peace here should be translated prosperity. Prosperity. What is the prosperity referring to? Does anybody want to take a guess? How about super grace blessings? You see? That's what this word here, peace, can be translated many ways, and often, and in this case, the context is right for it to mean prosperity. So what is verse 19 saying? So then let us keep on pursuing, that is, keep our spiritual momentum moving forward, these things, Bible doctrines, which make for prosperity, the release of escrow blessings, and the building up of one another. One of the things that's going to be a byproduct as you continue to keep on pursuing Bible doctrine is the edification of others. Now, that happens in several ways. One way is, you might not recognize it, but your presence here is an encouragement to other believers who are here. And maybe even to some who are not here. But even more than that, or at least on the same plane with that, as you're growing up spiritually, you learn something about how to execute the Christian way of life. For instance, remember the law of liberty, the law of love, the law of expediency, the law of supreme sacrifice. Do y'all remember those? That's one of the things you pick up, one of the nuggets you learn on your way in gaining spiritual momentum. What does that do? That means that you actually grow in your toleration of other people. And you sometimes modify or tone down some of the liberties that you have. Sometimes it's just when somebody says something that strikes you wrong, maybe idiosyncrasies that people have, habits, whatever it is, you're able to tolerate that. That's part of the growing up spiritually process when you have spiritual momentum. And that's what it means. So let's read this again, verse 19. So then let us keep on pursuing by maintaining spiritual momentum by the intake of Bible doctrine, which makes for peace, meaning prosperity, super grace, abundant blessings being bestowed on us, and in the course of that, the building up of one another. We encourage one another, and we don't hinder other believers' pursuit either. What happens when you start getting petty? What happens when you start breaking into these little petty arguments and so forth? That is hindering other believers. You're not making the issue the Word, and you certainly are no example to them as a person who has doctrine and so forth. So that's one of the results. So we have here a very important verse that I've just kind of passed over in the past, but it was pertinent to our study, and it means a lot to me now. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs is, go to Psalms, and then you'll go to Proverbs is the next book after the Psalms. And we're going to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Well, we're not going to start with verse 13. I can't go to Proverbs chapter 3 without reading verse 5 and 6. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm really not sorry. I got to tell you the truth. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. What does it mean, acknowledge Him? It means acknowledge His authority. He knows best. And you might want to go this way, but when He says no, you don't do it. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What does it mean to have your path straight? You will be on the road of righteousness. You will be incorrect. You will be making the right wheel ruts of righteousness instead of falling into your old humanistic wheel ruts. Well, let's go to verse 13. That's where I was headed. Verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Underline wisdom and put in your margin there, BD, because this whole area is a personification of Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is called wisdom. The word blessed really means happy. You can just put a plus H there by blessed because that's what it means. How happy is the man who finds Bible doctrine or wisdom and the man who gains understanding? Yes, sir. I'm on verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 3. Okay. Well, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the verse 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. So how happy is the man who does what? Finds wisdom, meaning Bible doctrine. How do you find it? Let me ask you this. What do you have to do before you find something? You have to seek it, don't you? You have to be looking for it. Boy, I hate looking for things. But I don't mind searching for doctrine, but I hate looking for keys, I can tell you that. But what do you have to do? You have to find the doggone things, and then when you do, you kind of have a reward. Instead of having to walk everywhere, you can actually drive. So, how happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding? And then it goes through the whole thing, but I want to turn over now to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's go a few chapters to Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 32. Proverbs 8:32. Again, we're going to see wisdom or instruction personified here. Verse 32. Now, therefore, O sons, listen to me. See, this is God speaking, and if you're humble, you listen. If you're not, you just ignore it. For blessed are they who keep my ways. What do you have to do before you can keep a way? You have to learn it. Not only learning it, but then keeping it. Talking about doctrine and its precepts, the mandates. 33, heed instruction and be wise. This instruction is Bible teaching. You want to be wise? Then you have to heed instruction. What comes first? Humility. And you heed instruction. Nobody figures this out by themselves. You can't go out and go to college and take philosophy or anything else and figure this out. God has revealed it to us. And He tells us here, heed instructions. Don't be hard-headed. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. Learn by teaching. You know, you learn, there's more than one way to learn. And if you don't learn by the academic teaching in Bible class, then God can train you another way. There's another school to go to. You know what school I'm talking about. School of hard knocks. Go out there and make your mistakes, and God will let you learn that way if you so choose. But He's saying, do it the easy way. Heed instructions, doctrinal teaching. And when you are, you'll be wise. There's a difference between wisdom and intellect. There's a lot of smart people who are dumb because they have no wisdom. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. How often do you need to take in doctrine? What does this say? Daily. How often are you attacked by Satan? How often does the old sin nature try to grab you through the nose and drag you through the mud? What? Daily, right? Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me, underline me, personification of Bible doctrine, finds life. That's when you know what life is all about. Just what I've been talking about tonight. The purpose of your life after you are a believer. For he who finds me finds life, that is doctrine. This says, then, and obtains favor from the Lord. What is the favor here? Grace. What kind of grace? Super grace. See, there's a condition here. Blessed is the man that does what? Listens to me and watches daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. Those are all conditions, see? Then verse 35, for he who finds me, Bible doctrine, finds life and obtains grace from the Lord. What kind of grace is this referring to? Super grace. The escrow blessings. You don't have to wait for logistical grace blessings, do you? Let me ask you this. What is the requirement? There's two requirements for a person to receive logistical grace. Number one, they have to be a believer. Number two, they have to be breathing. That's it. That's the only two requirements to receive logistical grace. And that's not what this is talking about because it had all these preconditions. This is talking about super grace. The Bible is always, so often, it's talking about super grace and people don't get it. They don't understand. Just put it this way. Every time you see blessings and there is condition placed before that blessing, what kind of grace is it talking about? The kind of grace that's given in Ephesians chapter 1. Escrow blessings, super grace blessings. If there was no condition, it wouldn't be talking about super grace. In Matthew, when it's talking about logistical grace, it tells you, stop worrying about all this stuff. You can see how God has taken care of the sparrow. He feeds all the animals. He takes care of the lily. He does all the... And you're more important than these, so stop worrying. Is there any condition there? No. People worry about receiving logistical grace. What is that telling you? If you're worried about logistical grace, it means that you're still way back there. You need to advance out of that and quit thinking about logistical grace. You can't have capacity for life, capacity for the super grace blessing that God wants to bestow upon you, and be worried about logistical grace, can you? What do you need to be thinking about in order to receive these spiritual, all these super grace blessings? You've got to be thinking about super grace blessings. You're already past worried about whether you're saved. You're past worried about logistical grace. I know, but what about when you lose your job? So what? You just wait. The Lord's got, I've got His Word. I'll put out my resume. I'll put my name on the list, whatever it is, for a job, and maybe it won't be here. Maybe God wants me somewhere else. But you're not concerned about it. You know that God is going to provide for you. But what if He doesn't provide on the level that you have become accustomed to? Well, that's where a lot of us really, some of us aren't worried about God providing. But we want to be provided for in the custom, accustomed to, the things that we have. We don't want to give up our cell phone. We don't want to give up our cable TV. We don't want to do any of that. What is that telling you? Wake up. Your happiness is not on the Lord and your relationship with Him. Your happiness is on things. And this is even before you get to super grace. In other words, what I'm saying, if you're going to be distracted and derailed by logistical grace blessings, which, you know, for some people, cable TV and cell phones and free cars and all the rest, that's logistical grace. We've come to be accustomed to that. And some people start getting in panic palace because they lose their job and they think, I can't maintain this level of living, standard of living that I have. And if I don't have that, I'm just going to be an unhappy camper. Right? What is that telling you? You need to wake up. Because God tells us our happiness is based on our relationship with Him and the capacity we have to love Him through the intake of doctrine. And when you have spiritual momentum churning, moving forward, it doesn't matter. So I lost my job. So I've got to eat peanut butter and crackers for a month, a year. It doesn't matter. I still have God. He can still give me anything He wants. And so then you start to move out of that pattern of thinking that your happiness depends on the details of life. So he who finds me finds life and obtains favor or grace, super grace from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. This is referring to the sin unto death. It's talking about believers who are negative towards Bible doctrine. That's what verse 36 is all about. He who sins against me injures himself. How do you sin against Bible doctrine? Well, just ignore it. Just be negative towards it. You have that negative attitude, human viewpoint. And it says, those who fall in that category hate me. Hate what? Well, actually, they hate Bible doctrine, but when you hate Bible doctrine, who do you hate? You hate God. You hate Jesus Christ. Because that's what Bible doctrine is. It's the revelation of Christ thinking. And those who are negative have a cavalier attitude towards the intake of doctrine, who do not eagerly wait at the gates, as David says, to learn a doctrine. Those who fall into that category, what happens to them? This says, those are the ones who hate me, hate doctrine, hate God. They love death, meaning the sin and the death. Well, let's see. All this was in trying an effort on my part to try to put this into perspective. Because this, for some, might be just, well, it's just a study of 40 things. You know, 40 things, that's a lot of things. A lot of things to remember. And for those who are not really here for the right purpose, and I'm not saying that there is anyone. There, maybe every one of you are here for the right purpose. What I'm trying to engender in you is the big picture. It's for you to understand what life is about. And life after salvation for the believer, the purpose is to have a hope. And the hope, that confidence is, if I obey God's mandates, if I keep on seeking Him through His Word, I will gain capacity. And when I gain capacity to pass the prosperity test, God's going to open the valve and those blessings are going to flow. And that's just icing on the cake, but still, God is the cake. And whether I get them or whether I don't, it's really not up to me, it's up to Him. He knows when I have capacity, not me. And up until that time, I am going to continue to just revel in His grace, in His wisdom, in His mercy, in the great, in His greatness. That's what it's about. And I'm so glad that God doesn't leave it up to us to say, okay, now, when you're ready, you let me know and I'll give you the blessings. Well, how do you think that would work? You think somebody might be a little premature? God doesn't wait, does it? And this is a neat thing. It's not arduous. It's not this waiting part. Now, this is coming from a person, you know, about the patience factor that I have or don't have. Sometimes I have it. Most of the time I don't. But for a believer who gets the big picture, he's not in a big rush because he's happy all along the way. Every day he wakes up and he thanks the Lord. I thank you for what I have. I have logistical grace. I have you at my... All I have to do is just pray anytime and you're right there. I don't have to make an appointment. I can pour out my soul to you like to no one else. And you care. You have the power. You have everything to help me with. I have your word and promises. So why should I be upset because I have to get enough doctrine in my soul to love you enough to have the capacity so I won't be distracted. And I'll never know when that's going to be. But God does. Do you know how important, do you know how few believers understand what I've been teaching tonight? They just plod along like a mule. What's a mule thinking? Not much. Especially when it comes to the spiritual realm. And you ask them, well, something about a doctrinal precept? Well, I don't know. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. It's pathetic. And so God wants the greatest for us. And He's already provided for it. All we have to do is get the capacity. What? Spiritual momentum. Keep plodding day after day. And we have His Word. He'll open the valve. And that's just more icing on the cake. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we are humbled when we recognize Your awesome power, who You are, the God of the universe, and that You are mindful of us. That You in eternity past were thinking about us in such a way to give us stupendous happiness even in the devil's world. And now we just pray that we'll have the good sense to follow Your plan, exploit Your grace, and glorify You. We pray that You will help us to keep our eyes on the prize, and mainly that we'll be occupied with Christ. We pray this in His most high and holy name. Amen.